Welcome to Middle Fingers Up, the show where we hold our heads high and our middle fingers higher. I'm your host, Kieran McKay. Today, we are thrilled to welcome back a familiar face to the show. In episode 32, Detach from the Outcome, we had an insightful conversation with Kian, a very talented videographer, rapper, and advocate for empowering the BIPOC community. Kian shared his wealth of experience spanning over 15 years in marketing roles, showcasing his talents both behind the camera and on the mic as Official Kian, as well as my video that you made for MFU's 1 year birthday was like such a hit. It got me so many supporters.
Nice.
So you definitely have the eye. And I'm glad to have you back today, but we're shifting gears. Today, we're going to focus on a new chapter in your life, a remarkable fitness transformation, if we call it. Recently, Kian has undergone a profound shift, both physically and I'm just going to assume mentally, as he prepares to compete in a bodyweight training competition. So we're eager here to unpack the motivations driving his journey, the lessons he's potentially learned along the way, and the deeper meaning of strength for him. We're also excited to hear his thoughts on the connection between mind and body in the context of fitness and well-being. So without further ado, help me welcome back Kian. Pleasure to have you. Thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, can you believe episode 32? Where this is like in the 70s. So Whoa. That was like more than halfway ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Congrats.
Yeah, right. Well, your video really helped bump up a lot of help and support. But also congrats to you because you're sort of in this journey, this process of figuring out who you are with these dumbbells and weights at the gym. So this is going to be, I mean, that's the most simplest way I'm putting it. I would imagine there's a lot more going on there. So I would love to get into a little bit of what the journey has been. But before we do that, why don't we just kick off with our MFUs?
Oh,
and then
start
and,
off
yeah,
with it.
Let's start off with it. And then we'll get into where you're at and what you're doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
My MFU is age stereotypes.
Oh.
Yeah. Because I am 35 right now. I'm going through this process of getting completely shredded. And generally speaking, being 35, you know, you're on your way down the hill.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As I'm sitting here looking at you being like, yeah, I'm almost 43. I hear you, brother. Yeah. It gets harder is what I'm thinking I'm hearing you say. It's harder if we want to talk just for our physical component for our body, maybe even mind, because we get in our routines.
Limiting beliefs.
Right? There are these little unconscious biases about this is the way it goes, not for me, it's too late,
yeah.
I'm doing enough, not doing enough, whatever it is that we do when it comes to physical and mental. So being kind of in that midway, almost at your 40 mark, it's an interesting time, I would imagine, to be hitting the gym, doing the sort of the training, the intense training that you've been doing.
Yeah. I mean, getting to an extreme, you know, because it's generally like, okay, stay in your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. What would your comfort zone have been back in the day before you started this process?
In terms of like weight or?
All of it. Just in terms of like body image.
Mm. It was whatever goes. Like if I'm like, since I'm 35, before I started this, I was like, I'm supposed to have a dad bod, even if I'm not a dad.
Yeah. All the dads are like, that's for us, man.
Can't take that from us. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's that, being 35, I guess.
Yeah.
When you were 25, you're like, oh, 35 is so old.
Yeah. You know? But it's not.
It's not.
Right?
It's really not.
Yeah. It's just so much more we're learning with science and all our scientists out there doing the hard work they're doing. And every decade, almost, you know, if people are hitting 40, it feels like it's the new 30. When you're 30, it's a new. So we're sort of at this age place, but yet in society, we're finding that we don't have to have aches. We don't have to just succumb to the fact that age is coming and taking us over. Does it? Yes. You don't have to be a celebrity to look, you know, like J-Lo, essentially. She's like 700 years old, but no one would know that, right?
A vampire.
Yeah, totally, right? So it's interesting. Did you have your own bias about age, though? Like, did you think, though, like if you were in your 20s, that by this age, you just have to kind of let go, be where you're at, whether it's physically, mentally, even career-wise.
Yeah, everything. It's actually my MFU comes from because I believed all those things, all these stereotypes, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then you just went to the gym and decided to bust every one of these myths.
Well, the messed up thing was that I actually have been going to the gym consistently even before that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that regime was always part of your routine. How often would you go?
Like 5 times a week.
Okay. So like full on.
Yeah. Full on and just no results, you know, no change.
And then you start to feel, well, I mean, obviously I'm not meant to then build this muscle. And I don't know about you, but sometimes if you come from a different race as well, you think genetic makeup.
Yeah.
We look to our parents and we think, okay, well, if they're not working out or family members, then this is where I should, like, I shouldn't be building muscle, I guess.
Or like you're 35, your metabolism is probably slowing down. That's why you can't lose the weight or whatever.
Yeah.
And my brother, he's my personal trainer / coach. He's the one who showed me that, like, you know what? Biologically, like, that is false, you know?
Yeah. Is he younger than you or older?
Younger by 3 years. Yeah.
Right. So he's kind of been in that process himself as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a fair. Anything you want to add to that, MFU?
No.
No? Yeah.
What do you think about that one? What's yours?
Oh, first of all, I think that's a really good one to bring up, because I think whether it's age or these little boxes that we're bred to fit in. So whether it's our family or society, whoever, community, you think, well, this is where I'm supposed to be and this is where I'll stay. And that's not the case for many. Like, many of us don't want to be put in that box. I don't want to be the 43-year-old mom that has the mom bod. Yeah. I want to be the 43-year-old woman that is educated and knows what my body needs and I'm doing the best thing I can for it.
Love it.
I'm not saying I'm going to be J-Lo, but I know that I can do things for myself in a way that I didn't realize I could in my 20s or my 30s. So like you, I've been working out for years. I would go to workouts and I would kill I do 2 workouts a day. It was such a big deal. Oh, yeah, I'd get up 4:30 before work. It was such a big deal. But I wasn't always seeing results either. And part of that was the way I was eating still.
Yeah.
And then the other part of it was, you know, this whole, I don't know if you're learning this in your journey, but a friend of mine taught me this whole thing about present time consciousness. Wow. So when we work out, often many of us are not present. So I'm lifting weights, but I'm thinking about all the other things on my list of things to do. So I'm not actually targeting what the muscle or where I'm supposed to. And I know sometimes people think that's just crazy, but it's real. If I'm not focusing on flexing or holding in a certain way, it's going to impact how I'm benefiting from, let's say, bicep curls or whatever squats I'm doing.
Yeah.
So I think the older I'm getting, the more education I feel I have that's actually helping me when I arrive.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same as lifting with your legs and not your back, all these sorts of things that we don't know about or think about until we have an injury or whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, and then also like flipping that mindset of, and you and I were talking about this, like, why did I work out 20 years ago to look a certain way? So you just, I feel like, harder on yourself because you're not getting it fast enough. You're not looking a certain way.
Yeah.
And then flash forward to now, it's like, I accepting I'm not going to have the Kim Kardashian body, but I also don't want that. I want to be healthy and fit for me so that when I do break a leg or roll an ankle, it doesn't take me months and months and months to get back. Or if I have to get surgery as I get older.
Yeah.
I can recover faster, you know? So I think it's just shifting the, re-scripting the way that, for me, I look at physical activity.
I love that because, like, you know, lifting with my brother, lifting with Larry, by the way.
Oh, hi, Larry.
Like, every personal trainer has their own philosophy of, like, how to get somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And something that my brother does is he's always incorporating strength into whether you want to lose weight, whether you want to compete or whatever. Mm-hmm. There is always a strength component because that's for your life. Like, yeah. That's for your, for you to take away forever type of thing.
Right. It's like this foundation you're building and then exactly. scaffold off of that. But yeah. this is what you're going to get, your little award certificate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of times if, like, you know, for some people, if you can't see it, is it worth working on? Right. Like, there's people who are like, I'm just here to look good. Mm-hmm. Like you were saying. Mm-hmm. So strength is not even something that crosses their mind.
No, I used to tell one of the personal trainers that I had, like, why are you making me lift these weights? I just want to look good. I don't need to be good. I don't need to feel good. Like, just do the bare minimum, make me lose the weight, really not wanting to do the weight essential or the work.
Yeah.
But that is how I used to think of it too, was you know, the whole, you get, you know, trainers that would be like, you're only cheating yourself when you don't. And I'm like, fuck you. But they're right. You get what you put in. Yeah. And so, you know, for some people, a 20-minute walk is more than enough. And for others, it's an hour at the gym. And whatever it is, it's also asking ourselves, okay, where's my line of, is this too excessive? Is this, what am I working towards? What is this all for, right? Which I bet, or if you had a journal and we were to read it today, your fitness journal, I'm sure there's lots of interesting things that you, did you keep a journal, by the way, along the way?
No.
But you kind of did the videos.
Yeah. That's my documentation, essentially.
Yeah. So, okay, well, let's learn a little bit about your motivation and all that. Well, I guess I can quickly do an MFU too.
Yes.
I want to put my middle fingers up to all of the 90s and 2000s music that I love so much that is, like, every day being ruined by all the pedophile celebrities that keep having, like, now it's P. Diddy coming out and you know, all these people that we put so much time and money in and put their posters on our walls and thought they're so amazing. And, you know, like, I don't know, I think 2024... 50 Cent might be right, is the end to this way that we look at celebrities and, you know, we buy their books and we read their stories and we think, oh my gosh, poor them and their trauma. And meanwhile, real life people are also building, you know, you're not a superhero in a Marvel movie, yet you probably did a very similar routine that Paul Rudd did in 4 months of, you know, eating his boiled chicken before Ant-Man. But we put them on a pedestal and we think, oh my God, these celebrities are amazing and all these things. But they're not real people, man. And, you know, like this last one with P. Diddy, you've probably been following that whole thing.
I've come across it.
Right. Okay. Well, good for you to not even care. But a lot of sexual allegations.
Yeah.
And almost like the Epstein kind of world of sex trafficking and not great stuff coming from someone that has been a big part of music.
I mean, I'm not surprised though.
I know a lot of people are like, are you surprised, Kieran? And I'm like, it's not that I'm not surprised because nothing surprises me anymore. It's just the disappointment in when these things come out and how quickly they're brushed off or how quickly we allow so much soft spot for someone like him versus the victims that have been part of the sexual violence, you know? And so then we shut it down, which then shuts down the actual issue, which is power and control and all that's happening with sexual violence. So my middle fingers are up to celebrities and how we put them on these pedestals and we think that they're amazing. Meanwhile, there are people in this world like you that are doing all sorts of wonderful things, have wonderful stories, important, relatable stories to share that we just, you know, skim over.
Because I'm not a celebrity.
I know, right? So anyway, well, you are my world.
Hey.
Yeah, you are. So, okay, so that's my MFU. I don't know, do you want to add anything to that or?
I mean, I haven't dug into the whole case and stuff, but I do believe it's a thing and it's been a real thing. it's a good MFU.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you're here today to talk about your fitness journey. Mm. I've been following your stories and your videos, and thank you again for the quick, yeah, sure, let's do this, because it just brought me to this place of, oh, okay, there's got to be a story that's behind why you're doing what you're doing and why now. There's always a story of why now. So I'm really curious to hear how you got here. So before we do that, though, let's just kind of do some fun questions. Like, I just want to talk about, because usually when you hear about people that are training for competitions, you kind of isolate yourself in some way, especially when it comes to food. And I, from hearing from you, you're a foodie, and a lot of the context of, you know, socializing is around going out and eating. And I'm like that too. It's the funnest and easiest thing to do. Let's meet up and eat something. And we both come from cultures too, where a lot of our celebrations are paired with food.
Definitely.
So we kind of have that influence as well. So I'm curious for you, what has been the hardest thing to let go of when it comes to the food and the things that you've loved before this rigorous training?
It was like the freedom, because, you know, there's a lot of caloric restrictions at this point, but it was the freedom to just go out and, if you wanted to, like, have chicken wings or whatever, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But there is this part where it's a cultural thing, like going out to eat and all that kind of stuff, right? But at some point, I realized that it was an addiction to just eat bad food. Right. I was not getting any type of like social reward from it or anything like that. At some point, I just went out to eat all you can eat, you know, as much as I could, just to get that little bit of dopamine hit. Mm-hmm. It got to that point. Like, but you have to like really dig deep into yourself to realize that that's what was going on.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit more about that dopamine hit? Like, for anyone listening that may not understand, what was the addictive force behind that for you? Like, what, when you would go out and eat, or like, what was a reinforcement? What kept bringing you back to that place of go and eat this thing, like the wings or whatever, because it feels so good? What was it for you?
Well, first, like, I didn't, like, my realization of it was when I looked back at, you know how Facebook shows you, like, oh, last year on this date, you did this, you did that.
And all the cringe things you said.
Yeah. And, I looked back on it and I was like, oh my gosh, for brunch, for lunch, and for dinner, I went out to eat.
Yeah.
All three times. And I realized that like I did not even feel the entertainment aspect of going out to eat anymore. I was just satiating myself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? Because when you go out to eat, it is a social / entertainment thing, right? That's what it's supposed to be for.
Totally.
Right.
You're having fun conversations, which give you these warm fuzzies, which also connect to the thing you're ordering and eating. Yeah. So you're like, oh, no wonder this meal's really good, because these people that I'm hanging out with are great and enjoying their food. Yeah. And so it goes hand in hand.
Yeah. So it was just like a means to an end.
Yeah.
It got to that point. So I'm like, nope, I need to do something different. And you make a change.
Yeah. Yeah, a big one too. Yeah. Not just, I'm not. So when's the last time you went out and ate?
That was 5 months ago, before the transformation, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you miss that?
I do. They're like, well, obviously, the hormones are all over the place right now when you're actually getting completely like low fat body percentage. Mm-hmm. My hunger hormones are like flushing my body all the time. So I'm always thinking about food.
Yeah.
But the thing I miss most is Vietnamese noodle soup. Mm.
Is that something that you will go and eat after your competition?
Yeah.
You'll treat yourself?
That's definitely one of the items.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, just like missing these, like just the saliva, right? Yeah. It's just like forming, thinking like about it.
Spicy soup and like beef.
Ooh. Yeah. All of that. Yeah, well, that's like our world, society, like, you know, parts of North America in particular, where the portions, the sizes are massive as well. And so you're just stretching it out, and you can now eat that big burger. Now you can eat that double patty. Let's try the other thing. But it's also interesting hearing you say, like, you were doing all these things, but you weren't really getting anything back from it either.
It was literally just to fulfill the hunger. That's it.
Yeah. Do you think something is linked to that hunger? You know, like that almost like the addictive side that you said, where you're like, do you think there was like something, you know, if you think of addiction in general, there's underlying causes that bring us to that.
Yeah.
Would you say that, and you don't have to say what it is if you don't, if there is something, but like, would you say there was something linked to that for you, like an underlying cause?
Like filling a void of some sort,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want to say, yes, there is, but I haven't quite explored.
What?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. It's interesting because you use the word addiction. So that's what I was like, oh, that's a big, like, to describe it that way. That's, and I know there are many people have that with food, certain foods in particular. Honestly, if I don't have sugar, if I did a sugar flush, you know, and anyone out there that's done that, like everything we eat, the first ingredient is sugar.
Yeah.
And to me, sugar is crack. I feel like I probably could have more success getting off of crack than I could with sugar, but I don't want to speak to that and offend anyone else that maybe has had that, you know, been in that position. But like, sugar is really hard. It's in everything and we're just always rewarded with it. It's everywhere we go.
Yeah.
And so to not have that, and anytime I've done that, it's been very interesting, the process that you go through, stages of grief in some ways.
you get pretty low, right?
Yeah, yeah. But it is, for me too, it is fulfilling something, right? And, you know, doing the work to figure that out, and with like a lot of the eating disorder type of behaviors that I inherited over time, you know, because you figure out how to work around the addiction.
Yeah.
You think, oh, well, if I do it this way, then I can still eat the sugar or whatnot. And so I just think it's interesting because food is such a big part of our life, but we don't always think about the link.
The relationship with food.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Like, where is that coming from?
Like, is it toxic or is it like a healthy one?
Yeah, that's right. Am I running towards food for a reason? Am I running away from food? Like, what is that about? Mm-hmm. So I'm curious. Should you go there? Let me know. We can have another conversation down the way.
Yeah.
Okay, so like, let's talk a little bit about the journey. So how did you decide six months ago, that you were going to enter this competition, which, by the way, is early May? So
yeah, or mid-May.
Mid-May. Yeah. Okay. So by the time this episode comes out, you probably may have already had the competition and gone through that. So how did you decide you were going to do that? And also in like 4 months?
At the beginning, it was like that longing for change, right? So last time I was here, I was talking about my videography business and stuff, right? But that's all I did, to the point where I didn't have any side quests or anything else that I was doing. I was just solely focused on building this business.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even though it was so fulfilling, it still had an emptiness to it.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's, and then on top of that, this was the tipping point, I would say, is my brother, like, I just threw it out there. I was like, hey, like, yeah, like, I want to compete, you know. Originally, it was supposed to be boxing. I wanted to try something. Right? I wanted to compete in something in 2024. That was my thing. It had nothing to do with being sexy or whatever, you know what?
Oh, come on, Kian. I know you're sexy.
But like, that wasn't the goal.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's just that bonus.
Yeah. That's just bonus. And I'm having fun with it. Let's be real.
Yeah.
But it was the point when he was like, you're not even conditioned to start a prep.
Oh.
That was the tipping point. And you know, my brother, he talks a lot of shit, right?
Oh,
and,
Larry.
But something that simple got to me more so than all the shit that he talks, right?
Yeah.
Mainly because it had everything to do with self-identity. Grew up being an athlete and stuff like that, right? You're always, you know, playing sports. You're the conditioned guy, you know, being able to run and jump and all that kind of stuff. And then when he said that, it was kind of like, oh, like, you're incapable.
Mm.
And it knocked on my identity.
Mm.
So it had more to do with than just fitness. It was like an identity shake almost.
Yeah, because like, now your job is essentially you.
Yeah.
And you're trying to figure out, who am I outside of that?
Yeah.
And you also, prior to that, were in the rap game too. So I would imagine there's a few adjustments and changes for you as well.
Yeah.
And you're probably, I would think, wondering, okay, who am I then? What does that mean? And you saying that you're growing up with sports, like, what would you play? Like, what were the things that you would do?
I would just be on teams and stuff, right? I'd be on basketball teams, volleyball. Like, I even did track in junior high and stuff like that too. But like, that carries along with you as you grow up.
Yes.
Like, 'cause, you know, as a kid, that's what you did.
But do you feel like it carries with you along the way? And then somewhere along the way, it feels like it was such another, it was like another lifetime. It was, you look back and you're like, holy, I used to be that kid that did that thing.
Yeah. I mean, there is that. And then the full integration that I was trying to tell you about earlier is that whatever I carry from before, I feel like it's helping me to get to who I am right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's like just again, scaffolding all these little journeys that you're on are helping you and get to. Do you have like an end goal, or are you just kind of trusting the process as it's happening? Well, we'll see where we go next, where this journey will take me next.
I mean, the entire goal was to just compete in something, right? And I've been getting into a lot of like manifestation and like visualization and all that kind of stuff too, and that really helped propel me to believe or trust the process, right? So like even me being here to talk about fitness, like that was never in my mind to even talk about fitness, period.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Totally I do. Because if I could share one video, when you're in Vegas.
Yeah.
Right? Because you, in the summertime, did you go to Vegas with your fiance and family, right? And you've posted that video too. You've done like a little bit before and after. You're swimming. You're like clearly confident. No issues. Got your shirt off. Doing a little belly, you know, smack with the rolls. And loving your life. Doing all the things. And so, and then there's this other video where I don't know where that belly went, but it is not there anymore. Now it's chiseled. And by the way, you should be auditioning for a Marvel superhero movie. You know, like, so to me, it's like, oh, that's so interesting. Like, did you even think when you were in Vegas or in the summer that this was coming?
No, like there was no plans when I was in Vegas, like a couple months before the prep started, there was no plans on doing anything. Like it was living my best life in Vegas.
Yeah, like, I know. I saw that. I was like, I wish I was there. Eating all the noodles, eating all the stuff, everything, drinking everything, right? Like as we do, we go to Vegas.
Yeah.
So motivation. How did you, okay, so you make this decision, your brother says something that kind of, you know, sets the tone and you're like, oh, wait a minute, who am I, my identity? Yeah. So just going back to the story for a second, like how, so, okay, you think I want to do this, many things I want to do, I have a long list of things. How did you go from it being a thought in your mind or on paper to action?
I mean, like when I went to the boxing gyms, because, you know, that's the original plan, I tested a few gyms out. And I didn't like how like egotistical the kids were and stuff like that. I was just like, I'm too old for this type of thing, right? But I knew that like I wanted to compete in something. And like I knew I wanted to hit my goals. And you know me, like I try to hit my goals. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like there was no way I was not going to compete in something in 2024. So it had to be something. And I'm like, it conveniently made sense that my brother competed last year for the same bodybuilding show.
What's the category?
I think it's called bantamweight. So it's like the lightest weight.
Okay. More like the natural kind of
so
beach
this is a natural show.
Body kind of thing. Like that's what the women sometimes is.
So there's bodybuilding and there's like the beach body like categories. Yeah. So I'm doing the bodybuilding.
Okay. Yeah. So what does motivation then do for you in this? Is that what you bring along to get to making this decision and going from boxing to now I'm going to enter this body weight competition, or do you bring another, you know, what is it? Motivation is
I actually tell people this, like there's people online who ask me like how are you pushing through, you know, the days that you don't want to go to the gym and that kind of stuff. I said self-identity is way more powerful than motivation or willpower ever will be.
How so?
There was this exercise that I was doing, like I saw this video on TikTok. They're like, you have to just write down on a piece of paper, I am the type of person who does blank, right? Mm-hmm. So like, if you're a non-smoker and I ask you, hey, let's go for a smoke, it's easy for you to be like, oh no, I'm good.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm not a smoker.
Right.
Right? It's the same idea where it's like, oh, like, let's go to the gym. I'm athletic. Like, I haven't gone to the gym today. Let's go.
Right.
Right? Like, I go to the gym. I'm a gym goer.
Yeah. That's like a really nicely said, you know, because motivation comes and goes. And
exactly.
I think it helps us sort of, you know, those rides where you take off really fast.
Yeah.
But then you get lost along the way. And then, you know, like the folks asking, it's not there every day when you wake up. So we have to find something else when us, but you're figuring out who you are. And so this is a bigger process, I would imagine, than, yeah, getting the hot, sexy body, yeah, which is a bonus, but yeah, also this is about you figuring out your limits.
Yeah.
How strong am I?
Yeah.
Connecting with little Kian, yeah, on the basketball court, all those sorts of things that maybe you've stepped away from, as we do.
Yeah.
As, you know, we get through our 20s or 30s as we're getting older. And I think it's really neat because I hear you saying you're kind of reconnecting with a lot of your past, yeah, in many ways to figure out where am I going. And I think the other part that I hear too is sometimes, you know, when we are making moral decisions, the difference between I mean, some of these are the law, right? Like, am I going to break the law? Am I going to wear my seatbelt or not? Am I going to hurt that person or not? And there's a difference between those of us that always put our seatbelt on and don't, or those of us that decide we want to engage in violence and not. And I think a lot of the times when we get lost and make these poor decisions and we look back, when someone asks us, why did you do that? Where'd that come from? We don't know, because it's a long swirl back to, I don't even know what my values are, yeah, anymore. I don't even know if I was ever taught them.
Mm.
It's so important to, as we age, to stay connected with where we came from, whether we like that part, mm-hmm, of us or not. But there's so many things in where we came from that can help teach us where we're going in terms of, what are my values?
Yeah, I love that.
It's a hard no. Hard no with violence. Hard no with smoking or, yeah, whatever it is. And I think I had a guest on who had overcome addiction and quite a bit childhood trauma. And he even said, he's like, it's your values. You have to figure out what are the things that, you know, really matter to you, because they will always show up in every decision you're, yeah, going to make. So what advice would you give to folks that are asking you these questions or are wondering for themselves? Like, there's probably people listening thinking, well, Kian's different. He's so different. This is not for me. I could never do that. First of all, would you ever have been in that place and thought, I could never do that, when you look at your body currently? And second of all, what advice would you give those folks that stop at, I can't do that?
Reassessing your own limiting beliefs, essentially. I'm the type of person, though, where I'm like, you know what? If you say I'm this, if you say I'm Asian and I'm supposed to love ping pong and be good at math and all that stuff, I'm going to show you that I'm on the other side of that.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm going to do hip hop. I'm going to spit bars, you know?
Yeah.
But that's just how I am, where there's like this rebellious, like, I am not what you think I am.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
100%. Yeah. Like you and I were saying, the box,
yeah,
that we get put in.
Yeah.
You're a boy. You're an, yeah, Asian boy. You're a girl. That's it. That's what you do. Yeah. Nothing more. And
I can see, like, I have the compassion for people when they fall into the status quo mindset, you know, where, mm-hmm, it's like, okay, maybe if I've been told this long enough, I'm just going to start believing it. It just makes it easier than fighting it, right?
Yeah.
And that's where the whole age stereotype comes in, where I'm like, how did I believe that? Me being 35, my metabolism is slow. That's why I can't get fit anymore. Like, I'm not an athlete anymore. Like, I'm supposed to be settling down. Yeah. All those things, right?
Yeah.
And then now I'm like, something lit under me that I'm like, I have this fire now. Like, I'm pushing in 2024.
Yeah. Pushing in a very different way.
Yeah.
Would you say there's some, like, mentality, skill set that you're bringing from your job of videography, even your time as an artist, to your day-to-day with figuring out your identity through working out here? Like, would you say there's some things that you're bringing along that are helping you figure this out?
It's helping me figure out in a way that, like, where if I want to do something, I'm just going to go do it. Because it has been proven to me that I can do it, yeah, right? With rap, it's like, I can garner an audience, you know. With videography, I can garner my clients and, mm-hmm, stuff like that. And me and my fiance were talking about this, how I don't know what it feels like to have the imposter syndrome.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, tell us about that. You know how many people come on and do an MFU to imposter syndrome?
I don't have that. Like,
never have?
No, like, I can't think of like a time that I have, or like I'm having a really hard time being compassionate to other people who have imposter syndrome, because I can't feel it.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So what's your understanding of it?
That, like, people feel like, who am I to do this, right?
Is someone else can do it better than me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't go there.
I don't go there. It doesn't, I don't know what it feels like. Like, I can't be empathetic to it for some reason.
Yeah.
Am I a serial killer?
Apparently, if you're a Gemini, then you are. That's lovely to hear, because I don't feel, especially somebody from the BIPOC community, speaking this way. And I think that is a relief for me to sitting across you to hear, because I live in that world of I suck, I'm not good. You know, those external pleasures of you need people to tell you they like what you're doing to feel like you got to keep doing it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you wake up and you're like, that's dumb, because when those people don't tell you anything good, then what? You know, like you have to prepare yourself, or every good feedback comes with some shitty feedback too. So like, who cares about it, good or bad? Like, what am I doing? But it's hard to think like that or think like you. It's often, well, so many people can do it better, especially in the digital world, because there's so many people out there doing all this content creation and doing all this stuff. So this starts to feel like competition. So what advice would you give to one of us, maybe even me listening today, about how to not get tricked by that dialogue?
I think like it comes from me being an artist too, where it's like you can only be you, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it's like if somebody else is standing literally beside you, like for this bodybuilding competition, their body is going to look completely different, and it's very subjective to the person, to the judges. You will have to land on the lucky judges who perceive your body as better than their body.
Right.
The thing about right and wrong is that I realize that there's like really no such thing, right? It's all subjective. Like your right may be my wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, I really authentically, I guess, internalized that.
Mm-hmm.
But it took a long time.
Yeah.
So at the beginning, you know, I think rap really, being in hip hop and stuff, being Asian and in hip hop and an early stage, garnering fans at a time when it was still novel to gain followers and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It really taught me that like everybody has their opinions, but they think it's truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, perception is not fact, man.
It is not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we stick with our truth in that sense. So
I think naturally we're going to allow people to get to us, right? But it's the minimizing of the value of it afterwards, right? Because mm-hmm. I don't think it's possible for us to just brush everything off, like be invincible, you know, like bulletproof.
Yeah.
But to be able to like be like, this is actually a tiny little opinion, you know?
Again, that bird's eye view.
Yeah, like you're saying.
We get sucked into the micro and your feedback to me is ruining my life. Yeah. It's the worst thing possible. But if I can look up again, I might be able to see like in 10 minutes, is this really going to be the worst thing? And that's an interesting thing about imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
I have heard very few people in the last little while talk about it in that way. And I appreciate that. Thank you.
People think that like the lack of imposter syndrome means that you're super confident.
Yeah.
It's like, but that's not necessarily tied together, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
There are still moments where you're like, oh man, like I'm maybe like my confidence is low or whatever, right? Like I'm incapable.
Yeah.
But it's never in the comparison with other people.
Yeah. That's a big difference.
Yeah.
But many of us do it with the latter. It is in the comparison, you know, like.
We might actually just had a breakthrough just now.
Oh,
Imposter syndrome may be the cause of comparison. So if you get rid of comparison, you can get rid of your imposter syndrome.
There you go.
Boom.
Book tour coming out.
Boom. That was good.
That was really good.
Whoa.
It's really good. I'm going to have to break that one down. Yeah. I feel like there's something different within you too from the last time we recorded. Even in your middle fingers up, if I remember correctly, you talked a little bit about just the support or sometimes a lack thereof. Of an easy example would be we're on social media. We both have platforms. It takes 5 seconds for a loved one, a friend, someone to like our stuff. Same for us to do for others.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we can get caught up in the whole, well, no, people aren't supporting us, that sort of thing. And so it's such a different place, I feel. There's been change and growth from our conversation the last podcast than today. And maybe I'll put my finger on it and be able to explain it better by the end of it as we're talking. But I'm just sensing there's this like level of growth and wisdom that's coming with this journey that you're on and how you're seeing yourself in the midst of your community and the people around you, and as well as how are you seeing them?
Mm.
So it's for the good though. It's like really cool to hear this because it brings me back to that middle fingers up.
Wow.
Yeah.
You remembered.
Can we talk a little bit about your early influences? Like, did your upbringing, because you talked about playing sports, so you were athletic, you were, you know, did you have, like, if you think about your current journey and about to do this bodybuilding competition or body weight competition, did you have as a kid, if you go back and talk to little Kian, like someone or people that you looked up to or you viewed that were role models when it came to physical health and what your physical presence should be?
I would say it's Bruce Lee.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was like, granted, he was the only Asian face on,
yeah,
on, yeah, the screen, right?
Yeah.
Not so much Jackie Chan or anything like that, because I saw them as like, oh, comedians. Like, you know, they were funny. You know?
Right. Yeah.
They did Kung Fu and they're funny. But Bruce Lee, like, if you saw his, if you see his interviews and like the way he carries himself is very different.
Yeah. How so?
Like the confidence. Like, you don't see Asian, like, with confidence, you know, on screen. They're, mm-hmm, usually the stereotypical nerd or whatever,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm. And like, did Bruce Lee ever not wear a shirt too, right? Like, that was always like, or did he, right? He's always the pants with the,
yeah,
the,
yeah,
the shirts off. Yeah, 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 yeah. It's like, mm-hmm, good there, buddy. Yeah. Okay. So walk us through like this rapid, I'm calling it your rapid fitness transformation, because you have a competition coming up in May. And how long do people usually train for these? Like, is it common to do it in 4 months or would people be training?
It's okay. So there are phases, right? Where you try to stack on as much muscle as possible first. So generally speaking, like, people take maybe like a year and a half, like 2 years, something.
Oh, wow.
It's very different for everybody, really. Because, yeah, if you already have a lot of muscle, you could just go straight into the cut.
Okay.
But when you're natural, like, you have to kind of get in a caloric surplus first in order for you to build the muscle. And then shave down all the fat after to be on the show.
Oh, so you're building fat right now. Or you were in the beginning, so you're eating.
No, I didn't. I didn't.
So you weren't. Okay.
I went straight into the cut because, okay, I was so fluffy already.
Okay.
I didn't know what I had underneath all that, right?
Oh, yes.
Layers and layers upon a meat suit, right? Fat suit.
A human skin suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, fat suit. Interesting. Okay, yeah, yeah. So you went right in. You were already ready for that then.
So when my brother told me, you're not even conditioned to be in a prep, like, I think that's what he was meaning too, where it's like, generally speaking, you're already in an X percent of body fat for, yeah, you to start your prep. So then the timeline doesn't have to be so long, because I've been in a caloric deficit for longer than, I guess, normal.
What does that mean exactly?
Caloric deficit, it means that like everybody eats a certain amount of calories to maintain like their activities or whatever, because you're burning calories every single day, right?
Right.
So there's a maintenance number. And then if you go below that, that's when your body starts getting rid of the stored energy, which is your fat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So for you, were you expecting to, I'm just a spectator, so this is what I'm saying, so correct me if I'm wrong, but this looks like it happened fast. Would you say, being mindful to the fact that you put a lot of time and effort into this, but, you know, like 4 months has already gone by in this year, yeah, if you think about, yeah, it. And so if I started this in January, I could be where you are at technically today.
Yeah.
It just seems wild to me. Like it seems quick to me. Is that quick?
It is.
Okay.
So,
yeah,
it's around 10 pounds a month almost, right? Generally speaking, like to be healthy, like a healthy weight loss would probably be like a pound a week.
Yeah.
So 4 pounds a month type of thing.
Right.
It went fast because the deficit, so the maintenance number and then the deficit, the gap is a little bit more.
Okay.
So it's a little bit more aggressive, they call it.
Okay. Okay.
But I'm also like responding really good because I started calculating all of my calories. Like I weighed everything I ate. I literally have a scale in my bag right now that I bring everywhere with me. If I were to go out to even eat one piece of something, I would weigh it.
Yeah. And yeah, that's like, do you bring your own food and stuff now?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to plan your day. It's, yeah, it's like taking the bus versus driving. You have, yeah, to plan a little more now, yeah, with when am I going to eat, how much, and, yeah, all, I would imagine.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It has to be pre-planned. But as it gets closer to the competition, it just gets harder, right? So you just stay home like a little bit more.
What gets harder?
The like temptations of even taking like a bite.
Mm. You know? Can't do any of it.
Well, I personally choose not to. I could probably get away with it.
Yeah.
Right? If I took like 5 chips, let's say, off a bowl, it wouldn't do much to me. Right? But I choose not to because I'm like, I'm on this routine right now, and it's the identity thing all over again. Like, I am prepping for a bodybuilding show. Therefore, this action does not align. Right.
What would you say is that underlying value? Because we had started with motivation and we talked about that's not what it is. What is it that, in one word, that you would describe that you bring with you then every day to maintaining that structure of, yeah, okay, I can eat the five chips, but I'm doing something bigger than that.
It's crazy because this recently was happening, because as it gets, as you're losing all this weight, it's harder to even work out and stuff, right? But I tell myself that I got to show up for myself. Show up for yourself. Show up for yourself. I mean, I know it's not one word, but it's been the phrase that's been on me. Like,
What are you learning about yourself when you show up for yourself?
It just means, like, do what is best for the tomorrow's you.
Today's going to help me invest tomorrow. I don't want to be in, like, overdraft, essentially. I want to be able to put some deposit in more, I guess. Like, and if we're going to try to make sense of, like, again, that bird's eye view, essentially, is what you're saying.
And then going back to what we were saying about, like, you know, knowing your roots and then, like, going back to your childhood and all that stuff. Like, do the thing for your younger self, you know? Like, be the person that you needed when you were a kid.
Well, how would you describe the person you're being for yourself today?
Literally just being disciplined and saying what I'm going to do.
And sticking to it.
Or doing what I'm going to say.
Both. Saying what I'm going to do and then doing what I'm going to say. That commitment.
It's about, like, being, trusting yourself, building trust within yourself.
So showing up for yourself, how is that impacting your fiance, your family members, your loved ones, your job? Like, what are you gaining within the community network around you when you do this?
It's crazy because my fiance lost about almost 10 pounds now too.
She's working too?
But it's just, like, very, like, nonchalant, right? She's not doing it as hard as I am. Like, she'll eat chips here and there and stuff like that too, but it still affects her in that way. That my lifestyle leaks onto her lifestyle, and then she's doing all the things that are more aligned with weight loss and, like, being healthier and all that. And for my videography, I have gotten more clients, more high-paying clients than I've ever had before, just simply by being aligned with who I believe that I am and aligning closer to my ideal self.
Isn't that, like, it brings us back to that imposter syndrome? The thing that we're so worried about being, which is ourself, and then we compare, it like we said, it's the weapon against it. But when we take that comparison out and figure out, okay, what do I need? What's best for me? We start gaining so much more in our life.
It's crazy because I stopped posting every single day on my videography account, right? But it's just, like, all the people I've met throughout the years and stuff like that, like, they see my progress in fitness, but it reminded them to be like, oh, let's get him to do the job, you know, to get the videos done for us and stuff. Because I think they see it as, like, oh, this guy is growing or something like that.
You know what I mean? Well, you have to be if you're going on a journey like this. There, you know, any journey that we embark that we haven't really been part of. Fitness has been part of your life, but to this extreme, it hasn't. And you're finding so many more positive things out of this process than had you not done, is what I'm hearing. So let me ask you, is there anything else, first of all, you want to add when we are talking about the rapid transformation? Any insight or key milestones or, like, turning points that kind of stick out for you in this process?
I do want to add something, is that, like, bodybuilding is not a healthy sport.
Disclaimer.
I just have to add that in there first. Just because it's mentally fit, you know, you're training your mind to be way more fit than, like, the average person who walks the street. But it's not healthy, like, to get completely a single digit body percentage fat, like, it's not sustainable.
I think that disclaimer is great. And I think also, you know, there's going to be haters out there that are going to say, this is insane, you know, and body image people would maybe look at this and think this is not helpful, all that. But that's not what we're here. You're not this influencer that's coming on that's saying, buy my powder that I put in my shake. And, you know, like, you're not the guy holding his jeans up, you know, that's like, I lost 7,000. This isn't like none of today while we've been talking, we've spent very little time talking about the fitness transformation because there's so many other things that you are gaining out of it. And I appreciate the disclaimer, but I also can tell like you're trying to reset something and it's working for you. Yeah. And I also remember you, I don't know if it was a video or something you posted about, maybe you can talk about it too, was you knew for you that if you didn't go hard, you might have been wishy-washy about this process. Do you remember that? Like you posted that, like you needed to go hard and do this competition or work towards something to maybe help change some of that mindset. Yeah.
So I have been getting this criticism my entire life where I'm very extreme, like it's all or nothing type of thing, right? And if it was just simply a vacation like Vegas and stuff, I would not go that hard. Right. But if the end goal was to get completely shredded, you know, then suddenly it's appealing to me. And that's how I approach everything with the rap, with the videography and stuff. Right. But I think it all comes down to wanting and desiring. And back in the day, I didn't know how to articulate this to people to fully integrate my life. Like whatever it is I'm doing, I'm doing.
You want to be, you know, you want to give your all.
The do is doing.
Yeah. The do is, there's another quote. The do is doing. This might be the name of the episode.
it's true though. Like if you dive in halfway, it's like you're not really reaping the lessons like fully.
Yeah.
Or any of the rewards fully, right? Mm-hmm. You're just kind of like a little bit here and there.
Well, you have like one foot out the door, essentially. Yeah. If you think of a relationship or a job, those kinds of commitments that, you know, we're going out Friday night. Yeah. Well, I'll text you late. Like, I already know I'm not going if I'm going to say I'll text. But if I've said I'll show up, now I have to make sure I do the things I got to do to show up. Yeah. You're showing up in a way where you're learning what that commitment means for yourself.
And it goes back to you saying wishy-washy, where it's like your identity becomes wishy-washy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And a lot of it is directed by the feels of right now, like the feeling I'm in.
Yeah.
I think that's for many people. Yeah. It's okay, I'm forming with all these feelings all around me and I'm just going to go with this. Again, that micro view of, well, if I'm angry or if I'm upset or if I'm happy, this is the way I am at. But again, like, how do I work through that?
Yeah.
I think the disclaimer and all that, I think that's fair. But I also agree with what you're saying, which is either, you know, show up or there's the black and white there, right?
Like, it comes with self-awareness. For the longest time, I was like, oh, maybe there's something wrong with me for wanting to go hard, you know, for wanting to fully commit and stuff like that. Because everybody's always like, oh, it's all about balance, you know, making sure that your life is about balance. It's healthier that way. And then for the longest time, I questioned why I am the way that I am.
Yeah.
And then finally, now with this fitness stuff and all that, I'm just accepting like, okay, this is who I am. If you think that I think I'm better than you, then maybe I am. There's a little bit of like a rap bravado that I carry with me as well, right? Yeah. Coming from the past where it's like, then maybe I am like, to be able to go this hard. Not everybody can do it.
True.
Like, okay, it is what it is.
Well, then we'd all be in fitness competitions, exactly. Right? And that's the particular thing that we're talking about. Yeah. But yeah, we'd all be at that level. And I think we all have our different level of where that high standard is. And sometimes it is unrealistic to set these high standards that we don't have the resources to achieve.
There's so much satisfaction and discoveries that come from this. There's no way you can tell me, you can't talk me out of like how much it benefits me to be the way that I am.
What is, when you say that, I hear strength. And what did strength mean to you before you started this training journey? And what does it mean to you now? Like, has it shifted at all?
It pretty much stayed the same.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think I was always like strong in a way, but there were a lot of things where I started to become a little bit more calm about as you get older. You know, you're not all about your bravado. But I think if my strength is my strength.
That's your superpower. Your strength is your superpower.
Yeah.
So then let's talk a little bit back. You talked about the feedback you've been getting.
Yeah.
So how have your loved ones, people that know you well, how have they like responded to this transformation, or have they reacted to this transformation?
They've responded pretty well, actually. Everybody yeah. seems to be very proud. I mean, I would get the odd comments of like, oh, too bad you're short, though. You know, it's always like, okay, let me bring him down a little bit because he thinks he's hot. Yeah. You think he's hot shit.
If only you were tall.
Right? But I've been getting that my whole life.
Yeah, yeah. Know? Fair,
like,
yeah.
You start a business because we had a sushi restaurant before, right?
Right.
It's like, yeah. Oh, like it's getting successful. Too bad he's short.
And that's then the reason why.
Right. It's always like something that's unrelated yes. to whatever it is I'm doing to kind of discredit like what it is that I'm doing.
Well, and to me, like when I hear things like that, it's people like so almost like helping themselves with this place of that's the thing that's out of your control. So they want to remind you because like you literally can't do anything about your height, but there's all these other life changes and transformations you're making. And sometimes when we think like that, it's like, I feel bad about myself if I commend you.
Yeah.
So yeah, I got to say, well, you're short, like to really help myself. Like yeah. a lot of times feedback we give or don't give people has everything to do with ourselves.
It is a reflection. Like everything yeah. you say or do is a reflection of who you are.
Totally.
But that's the beauty of like getting older, right? Yeah. Is that we know that. But then if you're young and you heard that from somebody say that and they'll be like, oh, he said that. Right. Yeah, but yeah. now that you're older, you're like, oh man, like he's trying to cover something up or she is trying to cover something up for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's really hard to shake me in that way.
Yeah.
But like it does happen though. Like, but for the most part, it's support. Like
yeah.
everybody's saying how great it is and how inspirational it is and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I would imagine too. So okay. So what about lessons? Like what are you learning about yourself that maybe you didn't know about yourself in this process?
Aside from like, you know, the food and like the yeah. caloric value of food and all that kind of stuff. I realize this is huge for even your business, like for anybody's business too, is what I'm learning about fitness that can be applied for all areas of your life is that like it is truly about trusting the process. Mm. You really don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, mm-hmm. right? But you know that today, whatever it is that you're doing is supporting that goal that you have, right? Yeah. Because if you're always looking forward or like setting goals and then looking at the goals and not your process, that's when you're like, oh, I feel so far away. That yeah. gap is so big, you know, and it truly is about trusting the process this entire time and enjoying the process.
Yeah. They say the journey, yeah. not the destination, essentially. And like, I would imagine when you say that, it's so relatable when we want to do, when we're entering a change or learning something new, it sucks. And because our ego gets in the way and it's yeah. like, well, I can't do this, you know, yeah. or I'm not going to do this fitness thing because we want results fast.
Yeah.
And today, even more than, you know, the other day, we live in a world where it's fast, fast, fast. Yeah. Even our McDonald's can't come out fast enough yeah. because we have so many things to do. And so I think that's a valuable point in terms of how do we stay in whatever process we're in, sit with it, the ickiness, the soreness, the fact that you worked your ass off for 2 weeks straight and maybe you saw a little tiny, you know, quad muscle pop out, but you got a ways to go. And but celebrating those successes along the way as well.
You know what though? I'm not gonna lie. At every stage of this fat loss, I thought I was already hot shit. I was like, oh my God, this is it. Like, I am hot now. I am hot now. But then you look back at the videos and the photos, you know, of the progress videos that I take for myself. I'm like, no way. Like, that's what I look like? Ain't nobody tell me.
Why didn't they tell me? So, okay, like now to, you know, you're going to wait, you wake up in this yeah. body.
Yeah.
In comparison to 6 months ago, the yeah. body you woke up in. Yeah. What do you think when you wake up? Are you, if we're going to just talk about the physical, the chiseled parts and stuff, like, what do you think when you look at yourself? Are you like, this is me? Or are you like, who's, what, how did I black out for 4 months? Like, what the fuck? How did I get these abs?
So I was actually going to make a video on this where I was saying, getting shredded and getting having a glow up in your 20s versus your 30s hit completely different. Because, you know, my intention was to compete in something at this point, right?
Yeah.
But in your 20s, you feel like if when you get completely shredded and look really good, you have to put on this, what I call like the hot look. Like you have to act hot. You have to, your behaviors have to be more stoic. And like, yeah. You know, and all that kind of stuff. But since I am 35, I've met so many people. I've met a lot of hot people, ugly people, all sorts of people who, like, it doesn't even matter anymore, like, how hot somebody is. They could be a shitty person. And knowing that and really, like, understanding, like, how humans are, I'm like, it's a body. Like, it's just a body. Like, if you're gonna, you know, give me credit for things, like, tell me about my skills that I've acquired, like, and all that stuff, right? And all the things I've accomplished that's not my looks. Like, looks fade.
Well, and again, it goes back to perception.
Yeah.
Who's deciding if you're hot or not?
Yeah.
Right? Like, someone's, I could be saying, oh, Kian's so hot. And then I could also be saying, but he's not.
Yeah.
And again, you're right. And I think that's such an important point that I'm seeing more people and even the younger generation is getting, that can we compliment each other about the internal pieces or about our values or the quality of the person? Do you have to compliment my physique every time you see me? Now, if my butt's looking good in those jeans, I'm not going to be mad at you if you tell me, because I work very hard lifting. But it's very, very helpful when we surround ourselves around people that don't look us up and down when we show up in a room, but people that look us in the eye and say, I'm so glad you showed up today.
Yeah.
What brings you joy? What's the, what's a funny story? Not show me your abs or how, what's your crop top? Like,
I do notice that happening though. Like now I, when I walk around in the gym and stuff like that, it's, like, people notice.
They probably think, oh, this guy really knows what he's doing and you're intimidating. It's, and
like, people treat you different when you, when you look hot.
They do.
They do.
They do. I had a woman that I interviewed who, for medical reasons, had gained a significant amount of weight, had like 14, 15 surgeries with her heart, and ended up eventually losing a lot of weight because he found the issue with her heart. And she talked about being a plus woman for most of her time and then being this thin woman and the difference in the same store that she goes to and how she gets served and how much people want to help her versus when she was a plus size woman. And you're not wrong and she's not wrong. It's true. But yet we all know this. And what will it take for people like me and many of us to stop starting there with – your belly's hanging out or whatever, because at the end of the day, like you said, my our body, chiseled or not, it can still get cancer. It can, you can still break a leg.
We can still be a shitty person.
You can still be a shitty person. Exactly. Right. All those things are going to impact you. And I appreciate that you're looking at that, because I, like I said, I'm really noticing that with like my kids' generation, the younger, even the generation before them, that is trying to get away from saying only nice things because of how you look on the outside versus I think that's I think that's a valuable point. But let's, you know, we're talking a little bit about body image, so let's like talk about the whole navigating masculine ideals. You kind of touched on it when people see you at the gym. So how do you think like traditional masculine ideals have influenced perceptions of fitness and strength training, like particularly for men?
Very interesting you asked me that, because, you know, Asian men are always seen as like feminine.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
To have muscles and to be strong physically, it's, you're almost like being like a protester to all that. Right. Mm-hmm. You're almost like living up to what it is to be masculine. So you're fighting from the other side. You're fighting like, I swear I'm not feminine.
Like you're literally wearing the shirt. Manly walking around. I'm a man,
I swear. Trust me. That's my mom. My mom says I'm manly. but it's coming from like that extreme of like, all, because, you know, K-pop and everything.
Yeah.
Like, feminine looking men and stuff. Because that's pretty, you know, pretty boy. It's interesting you say that, because like, I'm not even like battling what it is to be a toxic man. I'm going from the other side of like, I'm not a woman. I'm not feminine. I'm not weak.
See, you know? I'm strong. Yeah, I lift weights. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a interesting. It's a different battle. Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. You ask an Asian man this and you're fighting a different battle than just a man.
Right. Yeah. So then does that, you know, if that's traditionally the view of for many, the Asian men being more feminine, how does that come out in toxic ways? Like that proving what I'm not feminine, I am a man.
Yeah.
Would you say like there's, you know, violence or certain extremes in your community that are, where people try to compensate that, I guess?
I think there is a level of toxicity in wanting to prove yourself that, oh, you know what? I like weightlifting and I like looking thick and muscular or whatever to steer away from the traditional like Asian man look. Mm-hmm. It can get toxic too. Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
How do you know that you're not in the midst of that?
I don't. Oh, I don't. I might also be in the midst of having body dysmorphia. Mm. We don't know yet.
Mm, we're going to stay tuned.
We're stay tuned for part two.
Mm-hmm, right? Yeah.
It could be, but at the same time, trust the process. Right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Going back to that. But if it happens, at least you're aware that it might happen.
Well, the fact that you're bringing it up and saying, I don't even know, right? It's true to what you're doing, which is figuring out who is Kian. Mm-hmm. Which part of me do I want to bring along? Yeah. Which part of me am I shedding, literally? And which part of me do I not even know about that, you know, time will tell. And the other thing I want to know, because you mentioned fiance too, I think it's really cool that you're taking time for yourself before entering like a big process. Should you two get married or I don't know, today people just stay engaged, they date, whatever it may be. But to be in a relationship, I think it's so healthy that you're figuring these things out because good and bad and ugly impacts, right? Like, as you said, you're even already your fiance is influenced by some of the weight loss she's going through with the eating and all that. And so we influence each other quite a bit when we're in these relationships. And I think kudos to you for trying to figure out and also not having an answer. Like, good for you to say, I don't know, because that's being truthful. And the fact that you're aware, you'll get there, you'll figure that out. But the fact that you are aware tells me, like, makes me wonder about, are you struggling with that or not? Because there's that awareness.
So I think it's the confidence that I'll be able to figure it out regardless is probably the thing that's helping.
Yeah.
Cause, you know, people have told me, like, there's trainers at the gym and was like, hey, you better be careful about, like, you know, the bounce back, they call it.
Okay.
Right. So it'll be like, oh, after the competition, because, you know, usually athletes get on a really high. And then after they compete or whatever, they go way low because it's almost like that. What next?
Yeah. It's like the blues, people who plan weddings.
Yeah.
Say that after there's articles about having the post-wedding blues because you dedicated your life to this months or whatever. You're dedicating your life to these last 5 months.
Yeah.
Where it's impacting you significantly, maybe even isolating because you're not getting to go socialize. And you said the closer we get to the deadline, the less we will be hanging around.
Yeah.
So there's all of that involved. And so that's interesting. So are you preparing for that? Should it come? Like, what are you doing about that?
I'm not doing anything for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's, I know what I want to do next.
Yeah.
You know, I have plans for next, but I don't have like a repercussion, like remedy type of
yeah,
thing.
Right? Yeah.
But the idea, like, I know that when it's bulking season, that you're supposed to look a little fluffier as a natural athlete, right?
Yeah.
So if, knowing that, with that knowledge, it wouldn't make sense for me to be like, oh, like, unless you don't want to gain muscle, unless you want to stay like this for the entire year, like, there's no progress, you know?
I mean, even the low, but also you can't sustain this. Like even when I was on keto or any diet, you know, or I'm consistently working out, life gets in the way. You get sick, you got vacation, stuff happens. Yeah. And so you have to take a minute or you get injured or what. And so there's things that make us, you know, go up and down.
Yeah.
But question is, do you think that you could sustain this afterwards, this lifestyle?
I don't think so.
Do you want to?
I know what weight I want to be afterwards, and it's not this low, obviously.
Right? Yeah.
There's like a sweet spot where I feel like good all the time, right? I can still do my videography work and like, cause sitting down to edit right now, like in front of the computer, like your brain just does not want to move.
Yeah. Tell me about that. Cause you kind of mentioned that earlier, a bit of a fog going on.
Yeah. So there is a sweet spot, like for my height and weight or whatever, there's a recommended, you know, body weight or body fat percentage.
Body fat percent. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and so part of this though is your calorie count is lower than what you would normally do, which is you were describing that earlier today. Like whatever you put in, it goes to the places it's supposed to. It's not just sitting there building up.
So if I know I'm doing something, I'll eat first.
Yeah.
Like coming here, before coming here, I'm like, I have to eat first.
Yeah, because you're going to have a 10-hour conversation with Kieran. So we're almost there. What do you eat?
Okay, so I've been obsessed with high-volume foods, right? So this has been – that's another thing about, like, the whole stereotype of being 35 and, like, you know, being stuck in your ways and stuff. Mm-hmm. Is that I find that I'm learning all of like calorically dense foods, you know, that you can have a lot. You can eat a lot still being in a caloric deficit, right? And I recently found out that it's like a little community of people who want to find the food hacks where you can have a big bowl of something, you know, trick your mind into thinking like, oh, you're eating a lot, like salads and potatoes and all that kind of stuff. It's like the value of calories per food.
Okay.
So I've been digging deep into like, you know, finding different ways to make even pancakes and all that kind of stuff, right? With like protein powder and egg whites, you know, like low fat, low carb.
Yeah.
Sugar free.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any go-to favorites?
At this moment, it's toast and cottage cheese. Mm. But then I put like protein powder in there.
Yeah.
And then I have like a zero calorie maple syrup. Mm. So then yeah, it tastes good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like your good old dessert.
Yeah. It's something that I would probably still eat even when I'm not on this.
So do you feel like you're learning about what you should or shouldn't, or how your body responds to the things you're putting in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it goes to show, like, just don't put limits on yourself anymore, man. Like, you're 35. You can still learn anything. Like, you still – I guess I say this referencing like, you know, my parents or like my aunties and uncles and stuff like that, where it's like, oh, I'm too old to learn and all that. And I'm like, it's actually not true.
Yeah.
Right.
It's, I agree. It's this mindset. You and I were kind of talking about it like in our communities too. Once you hit a certain age, you're an elder and you could have quite a quality of life. You could have 20, 30 years, if not more. But then you just start to accept that because a generation before you, same thing, aches and pains. Like there's some friends that I've talked to that are in their 40s and the aches and the pains. Yeah. And I'm going to be like, spoiler alert, like I go along with them, but I don't have those.
Yeah.
But I feel like if I don't agree, then it's going to be like, you think you're better than us?
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, aches and pains. But I don't, because I, you know, I stretch, I work out, I do things to help me because I don't want to have aches and pains at this. You know, my back might be sore, my butt might be sore because I worked out, but I don't want to be in that place. So there's this natural place of some things I have to accept. I'm not 20 anymore. I understand that.
Yeah.
However, I'm also not dead yet. So like, I get what you're saying. It's like we fall into place of, well, I just gotta wave the flag and say, okay,
right,
this is where I'm at.
No, it's the human body is very surprising.
There's like a woman that was like 70 years old that gave birth the other day.
Oh, what?
Yeah, it was like an article. I mean, that's as far as I got. I was like, whoa, and I couldn't read the rest because, you know, we're getting education, we're learning, science is telling us.
I don't think it's the lack of information. It's the belief that it's you, like you can do it.
Oh, like right. I'm different. Like, you're right. Like somehow, you know what? That is, I would agree, because I think about some conversations where I know some people that will do everything in their power to think it's a medical issue.
Yeah.
And maybe not a mental issue, or maybe not even like a hormonal readjustment, or, you know, like sometimes working out doesn't help people lose weight. I understand people's bodies work, but majority, like I'm not talking about the extremes, many of us, most of us, if we eat a certain way, And now as we age, we have to look at some of those things a little bit different. Like I know my 40s, I have to have way more protein than I ever, you know, because my body needs it.
So let me add this actually. This is going to be useful. My fiance, she works at a gym or she worked at a gym and she sold memberships and stuff, right? And now she's actually selling workout programs and coaching and all that stuff. High ticket sales, works from home. But the people that she gets on calls with have a really hard time spending like a certain amount of money on themselves.
Yes.
To get themselves fit or healthy, even though they are in dire need of it.
Yeah.
Like it gets to that point where this not for me, maybe for you or other people, but not for me is deep.
I love that for you. That whole thing.
It's not for them. Like it's crazy how deeply rooted that could be.
Well, but then it goes back to the imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Someone else can do it better. It's not for me. And then comparing again, right? It's like all these sorts of things that, and sometimes it's about self-worth.
Yeah.
Because there are, I agree, you can pay a lot of money for studios and all these things, but you can also work out at home.
Yeah.
There's lots of ways to do it inexpensively. You can go to the, all sorts of things. So I think there's resources out there for us. But it comes down to, can I invest in myself? Yeah.
And or like the self-awareness, be like, do I need to be held accountable by somebody else? Or can I actually hold myself
accountable? Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you can't and you're honest with yourself in that sense, then what's $2,500 even?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
To do that for yourself.
For the, again, you look big picture. Of
The bird's eye view.
Helping myself in the long haul. I used to look at, is it, can you do online schooling or do you have to be in class to learn? You know, the people can be dependent and, you know, responsible and organized in all those sorts of ways. And then there's people that, like you said, that you need to be in a community or with a trainer or others. And I was always the latter. Like I can do it alone, but I need to work towards something and I'd like to have it. I use it as a community, like working out with someone. Yeah.
Like a social thing too.
Yeah, exactly. Where you pump some iron and you also shoot the shit for a minute. Or which I'm learning is when you feel like you can't do it, you have someone right there being like, yeah, you got this, man. One more, two more.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, you did 10 reps of something that you didn't even think you could do too.
Yeah.
And so just figuring that out. But there, I agree. There is always a way. It's just a matter of
understanding yourself
well enough. Yeah. Totally. And even some of this work you're doing by like digging deep, I think those are the things that help, you know, when we explore our identity or, you know, every few years we get a new car or remodel our house. It's the same for ourselves. And I kind of see you're renovating yourself in some way with seeking this identity and figuring out, okay, who am I? And I think these are good reflective things. Like, am I someone that can be self-disciplined or am I someone that needs to do this with someone else? Like, you learn these things about yourself. And okay, so what if you need someone else's help to do it?
I like to see this phase of my life as like spring cleaning.
Yeah.
Getting rid of all that stuff that like I don't need.
Yeah. Like Eminem would say, cleaning out your closet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that's something else.
Okay. too much?
That's like a skeleton?
Yeah. Oh, wait. Never mind. Yeah. Spring cleaning. Yes. I like it. Out with the old, in with the new. Yeah. Just lingering items.
Letting go.
Dang. That's right. What are you letting go in this process?
In this process, I'm letting go of my limiting beliefs on myself.
Hmm.
And letting go of me putting beliefs on other people. Because, you know, bodybuilding is a very, it can be, or it is a very selfish, like, journey. With that being said, it makes you put the expectations of other people away because you're just so focused on your thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never been happier.
Yeah. Well, you're relying on yourself too.
Yeah. Because before it would be like the whole, oh, I don't get support from other people. Well, it's like, who cares what other people are doing now?
Yeah. They'll come around if they want to. And if not, you know, you'll show up for them, whoever that is. But like you said, ultimately, you're showing up for yourself first.
Do your thing.
Yeah. Put your own oxygen mask on first, they tell you on the plane.
Fill your cup first.
Right? Oh my God, so many of these. What else? What are the other ones?
Sprinkle all these in.
Just throw them all in. Okay, I know I kind of cut you off when we were doing the toxic masculinity. Is there anything, if just going back for a second, is there anything you want to add to that?
Okay, in my mind, when people say toxic masculinity, mm-hmm. it almost sounds like you're trying to be something that you're not.
Mm.
Is that what it
kind yeah, of like, okay, to? So like we can even break that down, right? Like when we talk about toxic masculinity, it's like, yeah, I guess being something that you're not or trying like
to be
something.
You're supposed to be X, Y, Z.
Totally. A man is only a man
if
he does these two, right. three things,
yeah,
which is be big and strong,
yeah,
have a bunch of muscles, make the money.
Yeah.
Run the world. Keep going on and on. But essentially. But
Beyonce said girls.
Yeah, she did. Let's just remind everyone. You're so right. But also, like, there's no room for vulnerability.
Mm.
So there's no room to express emotions. And so the question, when you look at bodybuilding, and you even questioned a bit of body dysmorphia.
Mm-hmm.
And you even talked about, okay, the opposite for you being Asian, which is like trying to not be feminine, which is what people decide and yeah. see. And that's the other thing, right? Because that form of man from your community doesn't fit in the definition of what a man should be. Mm-hmm. But again, who's to say that? And we're busting all of these things and challenging them all every day. But I wonder sometimes, like, yeah, you show up in a culture where men are often discouraged from showing vulnerability or expressing their emotions. Like, how do you approach the emotional aspect of your fitness journey?
I don't think physicality-wise there was a breakdown or anything. But this whole, like, you're making me realize that being an artist and, like, being in a creative mindset is a feminine trait.
Interesting. Yeah.
Did you know that?
Well,
I read about it. I'm like, no way.
Like creativity. They're using that, the creative, because usually men are viewed as the logical, yeah. very linear. Yeah.
Like, let's do the doing.
The right? fix the yeah. thing, not sit in this yeah. forever.
And let me express myself or whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's crazy that you say that because I already have that aspect of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So this fitness thing, maybe it is that masculine side.
Yeah. Like balancing yeah. that for yeah. yourself. Yeah.
So you made me realize that now. Like,
interesting.
I have the different things that I'm doing is actually fulfilling like a wholeness.
Huh.
What are your thoughts on that? I don't know. I just thought of that.
But this just in.
This
right?
just like, in again.
Right? Like, let's yeah. sit with that.
Wow.
It doesn't matter what my thoughts are on. I think that's really cool that you're thinking of that. I mean, when that hits for you, like, what comes up? What do you mm-hmm. think about?
Like what comes up?
Do you agree with that? Like, do you think that is the thing or you're going to put a pin in it and check into that?
Because like when you say toxic masculinity, I have a hard time relating to it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because of the artist side is what I'm trying to say where like I'm going to be myself, you know?
Yeah.
I don't care what people think.
Right.
So that comes in and then, you know, me being an athlete and stuff like that, tie that athletic side of me into the identity.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, toxic, I always think, like, you have to be a certain way,
yeah.
a certain thing.
And it's not really helping you or anyone.
Yeah. And you know? That never crosses my mind.
Well, maybe there's, like, that's a good sign, too. Like, there's some changes happening. Yeah. And at least in this room, when you think about your journey and your experience, like, I wonder what it, like, have you talked to your dad about him watching you in this process? Like, what he thinks?
No. I haven't seen them because I know that like this process, like they always tell me to eat or
yeah.
like, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's really hard to be around them
yeah.
in that way.
Yeah.
It's crazy because it's out of love.
I know.
So it's like sabotaging, but it's out of love. So it's like this yeah. contradicting thing, right?
Totally. Totally. So, yeah. Western, Eastern worlds too yeah. in some ways of that. Yeah. So you've been avoiding them.
Yeah. I see them less now.
Aww.
But I can see like how people... they encourage temporary gratification
yeah.
a lot, right?
Yeah.
Like, not just I'm not even talking about my parents.
Yes.
I'm talking about other people I see. They'd be like, oh, you look so skinny. Like, you look like you haven't eaten. And they'd be like, oh, you can't have this cake. And then they would encourage oh, let's fix that dopamine hit right now.
Like,
right?
Well, just one, that. Just have it. Yeah. Life's short.
And then one time, I'm not going to say who it is, but
Larry.
No, she's like, I won't tell, okay? Like, what? Like, tell who? Like,
call this is the for body me. Weight commissioner.
Yeah, right?
And competitor 719 had 7 chips and 6 bites of Oreo cake.
Just like spying on me.
Yeah. That's, but there is that instant. But also, like, for our community too, food is the way to your heart. So, like, that's the language. And if we can't speak that, then it feels like we're not taking care of each other or the people, like our kids or whoever. So there's that natural piece to it too. But I hear you there. The instant gratification is every day in my house too, with like us of the young, like just reminding ourselves, like we are going to live to tomorrow. We can wait to eat that chocolate bar. And it doesn't have to be a family size one either. Can we like just eat the tiny one?
Yeah. So. I mean, instant gratification like that. That's definitely a thing. Like if you want to be disciplined and you have goals and stuff like that, I think that's one of the things that's like going to keep nagging at you all the time. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to just ask a couple more questions and we're going to wrap. I'm going to just do a little bit of mind and body connection.
Okay.
Okay. So based on your experience and your knowledge, how do you perceive the relationship between physical activity and mental health? We are a mental health podcast. We got to talk about mental health. Do you feel in this process you have seen a connection between the two?
I think there can only be a connection with the two. Mm. To separate the two is tough. Like, and that, I think that's also the reason why when you get fit, suddenly the other areas of your life start coming together too.
Interesting. Yeah.
Right? Like your learning and your discipline and all that kind of stuff physically, suddenly it's not so bad to read that book, you know, to learn something.
You can focus.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're feeling sharp.
Yeah. And you feel like it's like a momentum builder.
Yeah.
Almost, right?
Yeah.
And like they always say in the fitness space that, like, you know, mind and muscle connection.
Yeah.
Right? You have to focus, like you're saying earlier.
Yeah.
Present, being present with your lifts and stuff like that. Like you need your mind to be able to to get there, right? But then it always leaks to other areas of your life. Mm-hmm. And then so suddenly, like if you set goals for this, you're going to set goals in other areas, your relationships, you know, your business, your mental health even. Yeah. Like if you need space and time for yourself, suddenly it doesn't feel so strenuous to set aside that time for yourself.
Yeah. Well, it's like what you said, going back to like, again, your core, you're finding your value and your value is showing up for yourself, taking care of yourself. And so, like you said, then it shows up in different parts of your life. Like, okay, I'm going to be committed to myself here. You must see a difference. Like you said, like even tolerance, being able to handle things in a way that when that physical activity, that movement doesn't happen for ourselves, we're just like, irritated, sitting with this feeling or whatnot, and it comes out on our body.
So going back to the do is doing, where if you're taking action on the fitness, it's just in other areas too, it's just the do is doing still.
Right. Yeah.
Do is doing in all areas.
Do is doing.
The do is doing.
Yeah. Just do it.
Yeah. I think, honestly, I have never been happier being restricted like this. You know what I mean? It's like the flow of everything else that's coming together to be able to like self-reflect and be like, oh my gosh, like all these clients who are my people, who I consider my people because they love working with me. I love working with them. Mm-hmm. They resonate with my creativity. They love how I do business and stuff like that. You know, everything just suddenly is coming together on its own. And I used to think like business was a logical pursuit.
Yeah.
And I realize now that like it is so like everything being integrated, it's actually something so spiritual.
Mm, like a connection in a more meaningful way. Yeah.
So like when you're having progress with your body, it aligns with everything else that you're doing too.
Mm-hmm. I just feel I agree with everything you're saying about this because we see it every day, those of us that feel in our, you know, the physical ailments, we have this pain or autoimmune stuff, bunch of health issues, all sorts of stuff. even anaphylactic allergies are linked to trauma. Yeah. So your brain has this ability to remember that feeling and what was around it at the time. And so when you ingest that, let's say peanut, mm-hmm. or whatever it may be, it's sending signals of, yeah. oh, danger, danger. So your body's in fight mode. And so, but yet we don't follow that. We believe other things that are just so far-fetched, more so than, okay, these two things are connected. And like, if I could share a little cute little before we go, a little study that mm-hmm. I came across. This was a study done by Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis. And so they basically utilized advanced brain imaging techniques to investigate the relationship between brain regions and are they responsible for movement. So basically what they would say is between brain regions responsible for movement and those involved in cognitive process. So traditionally what this means is it's been believed that brain is independent from movement and control and like our motor skills. So brain and our movement is not connected.
That's so weird.
That's what we believe traditionally.
Yeah.
And so this study, so like the easiest way that I can say is, okay, imagine your brain is like a big city, lots of different neighborhoods, and then each neighborhood has its own special job to do. And in this study, the scientists were like little detectives exploring, okay, one part of the brain called the movement neighborhood. And then they thought this neighborhood only controlled things like moving your arms and legs. So almost like a traffic cop, let's say directing traffic. But what they discovered was that's not actually true. They found that this movement neighborhood isn't just about moving your body. It's like this big hub or a center that's connected to other important neighborhoods in our brain. So these other neighborhoods help link, plan, even control things inside our body that we don't even realize, like our heartbeat and blood pressure.
Wow.
And so it's like finding out that the traffic cop not only directs cars, but also talks to the city planner and helps keep everything running smoothly in the city. So in realizing this, they found this special connection between moving our body and thinking in our brain. It's linked.
It makes sense to me. Logically, right? Yeah.
When we move and we exercise, it impacts our mood. It makes us feel better. Like we've been talking about dopamine, yeah. right? Oxytocin, serotonin, what's the other dose? Endorphins, all the dose,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
All those sorts of things come from different parts.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, this is really cool. And we're getting, you know, some evidence behind it. But a lot of our Easterners and a lot of our naturopath doctors, and they've been telling us this forever.
Yeah.
And I think it would be really valuable for many of us to take a moment and think about, maybe it's not just my body. Maybe there's something up here that I have to unlock and unleash to help me deal with whatever pain my body is finally. Because where's it going to go is the question.
That's true.
Like, where does it go then?
I think... you know what? You saying all that right now, like, I know that, like, that's what fitness, like, personal trainers usually preach a lot.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like, people either don't believe it as if it's some type of religion that you're supposed to believe.
Totally. Yeah. Especially if we've experienced trauma, there is, like, such a huge link, if not in general for everyone, right? That, I mean, everyone's experienced some degree of trauma in their life, if not some hardships.
Yeah.
Work stress, all those things are going somewhere. And so, you know, we sometimes, you know, some of it's genetics and all that, but also there's so much intergenerational trauma that's we're learning is being passed down.
Yeah.
There are parts that, you know, we're experiencing because of what our ancestors have gone through. So there is this link, but
I've heard of that too.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, this going back and talking to little Kian or this experience that you're going through, this is why it really sat with me when I reached out to you, is because that's what I saw was you going back and doing some work with yourself to move forward. I think that's a small part of the big picture for you, but I think that's such a big part because it's that unfinished business that we sometimes have with ourselves or, you know, people around us.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go away.
And it's like that you have to take two steps back to kind of go five steps forward.
Yeah, kind of thing, right? Totally. Okay, support and community. So anyone you want to give a shout out to or, you know, like you're doing this process, but I'm sure there's a lot of people behind you or around you or with you. So,
well, my brother, you know, for the support and like his knowledge, just kind of like sprinkle it on me all the time, you know? And I guess putting in the time too, right? So my bro, Lifting with Larry, if you guys are interested in a personal trainer or anything, terrible at promoting himself. But yeah, and then my fiance who, you know, because when you're doing this prep, you get frustrated sometimes and it's easier to get like triggered and stuff like that. And shout out to her for like putting up with it, yeah. You know, and not being able to go out to eat and have date nights that much and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But, yeah. Kudos to her. Yeah. Big. Okay. So let's talk about what's next for you, like with videography, with rap, even with your training. You got the competition coming, but what's in the future for Kian?
So I used to believe that, you know, you got to be laser focused in whatever it is you're doing, right? So that's why I focus on my videography so much. But I'm starting to really let that go and understand like life on a bird's eye view, like you're saying, and understanding the importance of side quests.
Hmm.
This side quest is helping my business indirectly.
Yeah.
So my next side quest, I already have a plan to either really actually try to fight somebody in a boxing ring.
Oh, wow. So,
like, I know, like, I said that, like, people there are, like, not my type of people, but it's something that's on the bucket list that I really want to check off.
Wow.
But it's either that or powerlifting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The guys who just, like, deadlift, squat, bench.
Yeah.
Very heavy.
Totally.
So, it's either or, but if there's anything that anybody takes away from this today, having a side quest that's your interest, it doesn't even have to be a passion, just interest, right? It's actually so beneficial for other areas of your life.
Yeah.
And you would never think that because it's so far away. Fitness / bodybuilding is so far away from videography.
Mm-hmm.
That like, where did this even come from? Mm-hmm. You know? But it turns out that there's huge benefits.
Yeah. It's all connected, which is what I've been hearing you say a lot today. Listening for what's not being said kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just that you, and I like how you call it side quests, because that's just it. It helps us enjoy the main quests too. But also, like you said, just finding what we like, what we love. And it might not be a passion, it might not be something that's going to make us money. It might not be something we're good at, but it keeps that light ignited in us to bring back to, you know, like you said, your main job or your relationships or what. So it's really cool. You and I were talking about when kids are in school, they have an option to go and do all sorts of different electives.
Yeah.
And they should, because they, who knows, one that they try that they would never have loved that they would. And so I think as adults, we lose sight of that. We stick to our, you know, whatever it is that we went to school for or what we think we're supposed to do. And that's what we do. And we lose our identity.
Yeah.
We lose ourselves.
Yeah, exactly what happened to me.
Right? And whether it's work or relationship or what, everything in between. So I think it's really cool that you're doing this before 42. Like, you're young. You have the opportunity to try something challenging and learn something that, should you ever be in a rut as you get older, you know, or maybe start thinking, I am getting too old now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, my point was just, I think overall, that's a really nice call to action, I think, even for people, is find a side quest.
Mm-hmm. I completely had to flip my beliefs upside down after this fitness thing.
Yeah. What's the biggest thing for you when you say that?
It is definitely that, like, where it comes from being a part of the toxic hustle culture, where it's like, stay laser focused, hammer down this one thing day in, day out, wake up early, sleep late. And then that was a part of my life, like, for the longest time, like for a decade, pretty much. Right. So for me to flip that and be like, you know what? I can do a side quest. My life is not a long life. You know, like, human beings don't live that long.
Mm-hmm.
Do your thing. Do the doing. Once again.
Yeah.
Do the doing.
That's going to be your quote.
That's going to be a tattoo.
That's right. Yeah. I want to see that. I want to be part of that.
It's crazy because I know a lot of people who are in the fitness space who have yet to kind of like build their own personal brand or anything like that, because they don't have the courage to do it at the moment, right? Like, all the judgment from other people, you know, putting yourself in public eye. And it gets to a point where it's like, that do the doing is all it really is, right? It's like, do, don't think.
yeah, totally. The thinking part is what gets a lot of us in trouble and stops us, gets in the way, or we ask someone their opinion, and then their thinking gets in our way.
Yeah.
And so sometimes, you know, you just gotta ask for forgiveness, not permission.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there's times in life where definitely going ahead and not knowing where it's going to take you, but giving it a go, at least we can look back and say I did it.
Yeah.
And for any of us that get mad at people that do that, I think that's just like a sign that we gotta dig a little bit deep and look at what is it that I wish I could be doing.
There's something to address there.
Yeah, sure. I think so. Because I think we could do a lot better when we help each other out and it could inspire us. Helping someone do their doing could help me do my doing.
Exactly. The inspiration is like, is invaluable.
You know, anything you wish I had asked or anything you want to share about your journey or something you're really proud of that we didn't get a chance to talk about?
No, we talked about everything. And my brain is like, I think I need food now.
Yeah. That's fair. You probably do. Okay. So what do you want to go back and say to the Kian before this transformation?
We got this.
Hmm.
We got this. Let's go.
I love it.
Was that too toxic masculinity?
No, not at all. It is. That's a good positive statement to like say in our head. We got this. Let's go.
Yeah.
Okay, well, did you want to add another call to action, or do you like your side quest, or do you want to add anything else? Like any advice or feedback you have for people listening today that are like, I don't know how to do the doing, or I don't do the doing, or
there is something that like I don't know if it's related to my fitness, but this whole realization of like hiring a personal trainer and stuff, there's more value than just them telling you what you should do. Because before I'm like that too, where I'm like so stubborn that I'll just do it on my own. Like I can figure it out, you know, being super stubborn. And then the whole resistance with my brother being my trainer and stuff like that added the resistance for me to even get a trainer, but only to prove me wrong in a sense that like there is so much value to it.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the reason also why like the coaching, not even just personal training, but like coaching, life coach, business coach and all that is like taking off, because people who have the money to be able to hire these people figured something out that like a lot of lower middle class people have yet to figure out. So there's something there. You know what I mean? To hire somebody to spend that money that you can make more anyway, like you're good, you know, to be in an abundance mindset and to get this part of your life right and believing that it'll trickle onto other areas and improve other areas too. Because there's no proof of it. I know that. But to really believe that like one thing can lead to another.
Wow. Yeah. Well said.
Thank you.
Well, I wish you luck on, I can't wait to hear how it goes. And I think who cares the outcome? The best thing is that you're going to be showing up there doing your muscle flex and
the poses.
Wait, what's your outfit? What's the little banana hammock?
Little thong.
Is that, do you wear like a little tidy whitey?
Yeah.
Did I not even lead with that? Oh my God, what color is it?
I haven't bought it yet, actually. I'm about to do like a poll to see like, you know, what color I should choose, get people to vote on
it. Like a metallic.
Yeah. So there's a posing routine that comes, right?
Right. Then, yeah. Like you got to like hold, like to flex your muscles out in a way.
Like on your own on stage. So I'm just going to use my own song.
What is it?
No Compo.
Oh.
Yeah. Just going to use that one. And then because like the tempo is good enough for me to be able to like hold poses a little bit longer, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't bought the thong yet. That's the last thing. I signed up already. Everything is ready to go. Just the thong, man.
I know. You need like a leopard print, like some kind of print. Something like flashy. Yeah, like metallic. Metallic silver. You know? Please tell me as soon as someone buys a car, it's all I care is what color is it.
Yeah.
So please tell me what color your uniform is.
I'll see what options there are.
Yeah. Well, on that note, thank you, my friend, for coming back. Thanks, I appreciate it. It's been lovely. It's always lovely hanging out with you.
I always feel re-energized after talking to you.
Oh, I feel the same. It's like a tennis, like a back and forth of good energy, a good conversation, good aha moments together. You know, we had a few of those. So
this just in.
This just in, like literally. And then for everyone listening, thank you so much. These conversations are door openers. So if you want to add to this or if you have any feedback, please let us know. You know where to find us. So thank you. Thank you again for coming and thank you for listening. Thank you.